Welcome to the Young and Ambitious podcast, a podcast for ambitious young people who want to master their mindset, launch a business, and make their dream life. I'm your host, Nika Molini. I am the positivity boss and Gen Z's personal growth coach. I help young people get clear on their goals and design a life they love through working on their mindset and implementing successful personal growth strategies. Let's get right into it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Young and Ambitious podcast. Today, we have Brianna here, who is a serial entrepreneur and the founder of the 1 Year Project, where she helps people really transform their lives in a year and create incredible businesses. So thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Nika, for having me on the show.
Amazing. So can we start off by you just telling our guests a little bit more about yourself?
Oh my God. Yeah, sure. I'd love to. So back in the day, I was just a young kid from a small town who really had no prospects or reasons to believe that I would make it to be successful. The only thing I really had going for me was that I was young and ambitious, so to speak. And I kind of started off life making a few mistakes. I went to college early. I went to college at 16. And when I got there, just was having more fun than probably I should have. And ended up being a teen mom and dropping out of college and then thinking, okay, how do I overcome this and not let this become my story? And so at the time, a few months later, I was a server, and I made it my goal to go from being a server to earning six figures. And along the way, while I was still a server, I ended up buying my first house and all sorts of cool things like that. But in a short time period, I went from being a server to earning six figures. And then from there, things really skyrocketed. And then went from earning six figures to running a $40 million company. And then after that, there was a series of businesses that I built and sold to get where I am today.
Amazing. So can you take us back to what it was like when you made the decision, you know, to really change your life when you were a server? And how did you really go from that point to making six figures so quickly?
Sure. So I think one thing that I had that maybe not everyone has is that even when I made mistakes and I got myself in bad situations and the odds were stacked against me, there was never any doubt in my mind that I would get out of it. It was a matter of how. So I was continually creating like master schemes and plans to really just get my life together and make things happen. So I had, you know, this master plan on how I was going to get my first car, and I had this master plan on how I was going to get out of being a server. So when I was a server, I realized that there were a lot of industries where young people without degrees just couldn't show up and make a lot of money. And I tried my hand at a few of those. And then I decided, okay, why don't I identify an industry where young people without college degrees can actually be successful and are actually looked up to and respected versus looking down on for not having experience. So I identified in the technology industry, there's a lot of very successful young people without degrees. So I decided, okay, I need to work for a tech company. So I gave myself a challenge to get a job at a tech company. And I applied to 100 jobs at 100 different technology companies per day for 100 days. So that was really like my scheme, my grand plan to get out of being a server. And then once I started that job, I was just an admin assistant. My initial job within the company was to book travel for consultants and to collect timesheets, like one of the lowliest positions you could potentially ever had. But I walked into the CEO's office one day and I said, hey, what problems does this company have? And how can I help? Like, what's going on in the company? Where are the issues? And I established enough of a rapport with him to be able to get him to divulge to me what was really happening in the company. And every day I would work my job for like 10 or 12 hours. And once I was done, I would meet with the different directors, all the departments. And I would say, you know, how can I help you? What issues are you facing? And I would just dive right in and see how I could add value and how I could solve the problems. And over the course of a few months, through that process, I went from being the admin assistant to the vice president and making millions of dollars along the way.
That is crazy. Just the sheer number of resumes that you sent like blows me away. But it's so interesting that, you know, you really went in with the mindset of how you can add value. And a lot of what we learn is the way you actually make money is by just providing as much value as possible and really helping people solve their problems.
It's true. One, like, I'm a huge proponent of adding value. Like, I never thought a lot of people would have the mindset to think like, okay, am I going to get paid overtime for this? Is there a bonus involved in it? Why am I working so hard? Like, they would look at all the downsides of it versus looking at the upsides. And so that definitely helped me. At the same time, I've seen other situations where I was maybe scared to charge, like in business, scared to charge what I was worth. And I would give away things for free. And because I gave value for free, no one valued what I have. So there's this fine line in understanding when it's time to add value for free and establish yourself and just to go out and add value and wait for good things to come back. And then there's another time when you have to know that if you don't value yourself and what you bring to the table, then other people won't either. So it's, yeah, there's different things for different times in your life. But I think if you can solve a problem that brings tons of money to the table, then you will be in a great position to earn tons of money.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that. So tell us more about like the personal growth journey you went through. You know, I'm sure you had to go through a lot of different mindset experiences and journeys to get to where you are. So can you tell us more about that?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, right now I'm 28. So I've been kind of going through this journey for a while now. And back in the day when I was doing this around 2011-ish, there really wasn't this huge focus on mindset that we have right now. Like, mindset's very much in fad. It's in vogue. Everyone's talking about your mindset. But that wasn't the case back when I was doing things. Back when I was doing things, people were still very much focused on the business principles. And they were very much focused on what's your business model and what's your value proposition. And, you know, all of the more technical aspects of running a business. One of the things I did, I mean, I was just obsessed with consuming things that interested me. So I was very much interested in running a successful business. I was very much interested in those things. So when I had free time, you know, of course I like to have fun and do other things, but when I had free time, I mean, it would not be unusual for you to catch me reading articles on Forbes and Entrepreneur for 2 hours a day. Like, that was not something that was unusual for me. I didn't call it mindset work necessarily, like I said, because that wasn't really a thing back then. At the same time, I was getting books like Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Workweek and really just diving in and figuring out, you know, everything I could do to be the best possible person. But I think one thing that I didn't do was get stuck in the personal development world from a standpoint of I need to improve myself, because I think there comes a point where, like, you've consumed enough information, you've consumed enough advice, and you need to start taking action. And one of the reasons why I've always been able to perform massive transformations in very short time frames is really based on the action. Because even if you take the wrong action because you didn't know what you were doing, you're going to learn more by making that mistake than you're ever going to learn by reading a book or you know, having a coach or anything like that. And right now, like, I ended up going from being a college dropout to a PhD researcher. So my research was on kind of the science of success and the cognitive science and artificial intelligence and how the mind works. And so in my research, one of the things I learned was about how people learn. And the truth of the matter is that we're all in this world where we've been taught that school and courses and books are the way people learn. But what research has actually uncovered is that people learn through failure. So we, a lot of times we go out there and we find that coach and we find that book and we find that course because we want to do our XYZ the right way. We want to do our webinars the right way. We want to do our coaching business the right way. We want to do whatever it is, Facebook ads or whatever it is you're trying to learn the right way. And we don't want to be bad at it. But the truth is that the way humans learn is through failure. So like, you know, a baby, they stand up and they never read a book on how to walk. They never, you know, took a course on how to walk. They never went to a class on how to walk. They just stood up and fell down and stood up and fell down and they kept going. And that's like, that's how humans learn in general. So, and that's why you see people all the time who they've read the books on things, but they still make those same mistakes. So I think a lot of the growth is in action. So I grew through making mistakes.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say keeps you motivated during those times? You know, a lot of people, maybe after the first couple of failures, will decide to give up or think, you know, it's not worth it. Like what kept you motivated to get to where you are today?
I think there were a few things. I mean, one, having grown up in a very, very impoverished environment and having to solve a lot of challenges even as a youth, I think I understood that problems are meant to be solved and that you can't let them overcome you because I saw my own parents and my own family and I saw what happened when you became a victim of your problems versus when you decided you were in charge. So I think that's one of the things that helped me. I think some of the other things that helped me was that I just had this deep internal feeling, this knowing that I was meant for more and I was capable of more. So where a lot of people back down because they don't have that confidence in themselves, they don't have that knowing, they're not sure if they're good enough. I, the opposite problem, like I always knew like I'm meant for more. So when I failed, I didn't look at it as I was failing. I look at it as I took the wrong action or I made a mistake or something changed. So, you know, if I ended up in a business with, a bad business partnership, I didn't think, well, I'm bad at being an entrepreneur. Instead, I would think, okay, how did I make the decision to get into this partnership and what can I learn for that so I can do it differently next time? So everything was like, what can I learn from this? None of it was reflected back on me like I'm the failure. It was always what I had done was the wrong thing.
Right. And I think making that distinction of not letting failure affect your self-worth is so critical. And I think that's somewhere actually young entrepreneurs struggle because they're really trying to cement their sense of self-worth and confidence at a young age. And it can be really daunting when these failures come up.
Sure. And, you know, like I've had, you know, success isn't always linear. Like a lot of people think like you reach success and that's it. But like I've had success and then I've had a failure after the success and then I've had a success and a failure after. And so, you know, just because you make it once, it's not like, I think there's a lot of fear around once you achieve a certain level of life, not to ever go below that. But a lot of times, I mean, there are ups and downs. And I think understanding that is okay. I've talked to a lot of people who they made their first, you know, $500,000 and then all of a sudden they lost everything and started over. But in that starting over, they ended up with a $50 million business. So it's like realizing that the falling down is natural and not really taking it personally has been huge.
Right. And what kind of advice would you give to young entrepreneurs that are starting out right now?
I think it's really in starting the right business. So, you know, now that I've started, bought, sold, done all sorts of things with a ton of different businesses, all of my businesses initially were about making money. So I was very, very money motivated. So it's how do I make money? How do I make money? How do I make money? And that's good until you become wealthy, right? So then you get to a point where it's like, okay, I've traveled the world. I have a Porsche. I have a nice house. I go to the beach all the time. Like I have, you know, all the money in the world that I can really spend and do, and I can do anything I wanted to do. And then you get to the point where, okay, now what? Now am I motivated to keep working at this business? Or was I only motivated at it to make that money? And now that I have that money, I don't want to run this business. I don't want to talk to those people. I don't want to show up to those meetings. I don't want to answer those emails or whatever that looks like. It took me a while before I started a business that was aligned with who I really was. And it's very interesting because I started a ton of businesses just to make money, and I made a ton of money. And then I woke up at one point and was just like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't actually want to take part in this anymore. And that's really where the 1 year project started, was I gave myself 1 year to say, you know what? I set a ton of goals and I achieved every single one of them, but I still don't feel happy. I still don't feel successful. I still don't feel fulfilled. I've had my fun and all that, but now what? And from there, I gave myself 1 year to figure that out and transform my own life. And that's how the 1 year project got started, was partially because I was ready to build a business that was aligned with who I was. And the other part of it was that, you know, being a PhD researcher and uncovering the science of success, I wanted to take these answers. And there's so many people out there who are like, okay, how do I become successful? You know, how do I blah, blah, blah. And we actually have the answers. We have the data. We have the knowledge. We have the research. But it's all in these research articles that only people who actually write in them read. And they're just a bunch of data that no one knows how to actually turn into action. So with the 1 year project, I really figured out, how do I take the science of success and turn it into a single action you can do every day, so that over the course of 1 year, you can become successful? And for me, that looked like building a new business that was aligned with who I was.
Right. And can you share with us maybe like some of the findings of that? Like what are some of the key daily actions you could be taking?
Sure. So a lot of it, and this is something that took me forever, I was always a really busy person and I always had this huge to-do list. So, you know, if I give an example of building an online business, like I might wake up and think like, okay, I need to go live on Facebook and I need to create content for Instagram and I need to, you know, set up a new webinar and I need to build a new sales funnel and I need to fix my website. I need to get some Facebook ads. I should probably do some videos. And like, you know, you have this long to-do list of all these things you think you need to do. One of the key findings that I found with the 1 year project was that if you can simplify down to one goal and then one action per day that can be done in 1 hour. So that's really like at the core of what I do with the 1 year project, to say, okay, you want to be a best-selling author. So how can we give you one action to do per day that at the end of the 90 days, like take everything off your to-do list, the end of the 90 days, you'll be a best-selling author, but you're going to sacrifice all the fluff and all the busyness and all those things you've been doing. And every single day for 1 hour, you're going to write 500 words or like whatever that looks like. So you might spend 30 days writing it, 30 days editing it, 30 days marketing it, or whatever that looks like. So really the focus component on it is something that's been scientifically researched a ton. And the less things you do, the more likely you are to achieve success, because that focus and that energy aligns everything you do to one large outcome versus a ton of things where 90 days from now, you won't actually be any closer to achieving those goals like you thought you would be.
Okay, I love that. That's so true. It's all about focus. Thank you so much for sharing that. Perfect. So this brings us to the end of the podcast. So if people want to learn more about the 1 year project, where can they find more information?
Yes. So I am on Instagram at the 1 year. That's one thing. I have a podcast as well. It's the 1 year project podcast. In that podcast, I share 3 different episodes 1 year before, which are people coming on and they're talking to me and telling me that they want to be somewhere different in 1 year. And I leave them with 90 days of actions to do. So one action to do per day to get where they want to go. So those are really interesting episodes. And I have 1 year after, where I interview the people who've actually transformed their life in 1 year, so that you can understand how they did it and what they did. And 1 year reality, which is where I share my own 1 year project as it's going on. So if you want to listen to my podcast, I'm on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, all of the places. And I also have a Facebook group with a free course in it so that you can launch your own 1 year project. And that's called the 1 year Project, Design a Life and Business You Love. And it's on Facebook.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Brianna, for sharing all of your insights with us and telling us more about your story. I'm sure everyone has found it really insightful. So thank you again.
Thank you again. Thank you so much for sharing me and reaching out. And I've been young and ambitious, and that's how I got where I am. So shout out to all the listeners who are putting the effort and the energy to get where they want to go. You'll get there. And I'm just sending you nothing but success.
Thank you so much. All right. Bye, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Young and Ambitious podcast. If you enjoyed it, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes. It really helps us get this out there and impacting more lives. Now, make sure to also take a screenshot and tag at Nika Moini and at The Positivity Boss on your podcast, and make sure to join the Young Bosses Collective Facebook group, where we have a community of young, ambitious people all supporting each other. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you next time. Bye.